not his back or his neck. We thank you that he is able to hobble in this morning. We ask that you'd watch over him. And Lord, we thank you that you walk with us each day, and that even the tough times, it brings about something good that you want to do in us or through us. So Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. All right, this morning's sermon has an unpopular title. It's something that we've all heard at one point in time. I don't know if anybody's ever said these words to you, but sometimes we earn them. The title of this morning's sermon is, I Hate You, But That's My Problem. You see, those types of things come up in life. Those things happen. We all start out and we long to hear three simple words from someone that we like, that we're interested in. We long to hear them say, I like you. And then we hope that someday that I like you transforms itself into I love you. But oftentimes what happens is somewhere along the way, we all end up in a situation where we have that person that we've liked, that maybe even we've loved and we've cared about deeply. Those words change. Not the I or the you, but what's in the middle, that four little word from like or love turns into I hate you. And sometimes that rips us apart, and we always seem to question whether or not someone could really love us. You know, when someone says, I love you, we're like, are you sure? And we're always wondering, do they really? It's like that little girl asking, could God really love? Does he love the whole world? But what she was really asking is the question we all ask, could God love me? Because that love is a feeling or emotion that seems to change sometimes, and we question it when it's from people. We never have to question whether or not God loves us or not. But one thing that we never question is when someone looks us in the eye and confidently confesses that they hate us. We don't doubt that, do we? We almost expect it from people. I hate you seems to mark the end of a relationship, a friendship, because maybe someone has caused you pain or someone has caused you loss in your life. I hate you comes out easily out of the depths of our heart because it's born out of anger. It's definitely not born out of love. It's an emotional response to pain or tragedy. It's kind of like a rapid response system that we throw out to protect ourselves. It's kind of like this nuclear deterrent we throw between us and another person that says, well, I hate you, and stay away, stay back. Sometimes this anger, this hate is as normal part of our daily lives as that we live as taking a breath. Hate and anger seems to be everywhere. It's on the radio, it's on the internet, it's on TV. We see it in Facebook and churches and homes. It even falls from our lips to someone's breaking heart. Hate hurts deep. Hate divides and hate destroys. Hate is easy because it comes so naturally to us. Cain hated Abel and killed him for it because of his inadequacies, not Abel's goodness. Saul feared and hated David and tried to destroy him for it because of the insecurity he had in his life, because of who he was, and that led over to hate and destruction. Joseph's brother despised him because daddy liked him most, and oftentimes jealousy breeds hate. Hate's easy. Love is hard. We say we love God, we say we love our family and our friends and our neighbors, but God points out some flaws in our arguments, and we're going to take a quick look at this in 1 John 4:7-21. It says this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, but whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us first and sent us his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God and God lives in him and he in God, and so we know and rely on the love of God that he has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. And then here comes this little but, this little, and remember, this little counsel to the wise. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let's pray. Father God, these words are not easy words. But what you did wasn't easy either. You sent your love into a dark world that only knew hate and anger and bitterness and rage. And you turned the light on for us. You said, this is what love is. This is what it looks like. This is how it lives and behaves. Go and do it. So, Lord, I just pray that you will allow us and you'll help us. You'll take that ickiness out of us and remove the hatred and the anger from us and throw it out in a bag in the trash. And you'd fill us up with love until the whole world sees it. Because that's when we feel the most secure in you and your love, is when we're living like you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting. We could spend a month dissecting this passage. We don't have a month. We could tear it apart and tear each other apart with this passage, but we don't need to. We just need to be reminded of three simple things from this passage. First and foremost, God is love. And if you want to know what love is, you need to know who God is. Not only that, God showed us what real love is and what it does and how it lives and how it acts, even among unloving people. So as we read through the scriptures, we can look for those things where God shows up and just pours out love on us. And not only that, God said that we are to love like he does. For God so loved us, we should go and love them. We are to give out love and not hate. Could you imagine if God would have acted like us? And instead of sending his Son out of love and sending his Son out of sacrifice and sending his Son to save us, he would have done something like we would have done. We probably would have sent the nuclear deterrent instead of love. We probably would have said, you should have known better. But instead, God says, my ways aren't your ways. My ways are always love. And he tells us to go and do the same. He showed us beautifully, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The godly for the ungodly, the offended for the offenders, the victim for the killers. God takes love and God always goes first. And how we respond to him and what we do matters. It shows really who we are and whose heart we have. And I could tell you all about what it means and how it should look in our lives, but I'd rather show you instead. We've got a clip that we're going to look at this morning, and I need to set it up for you because some of you may have been not have seen it, but it is an incredible thing that we have seen and heard played out in the news. And most of the time you've heard the hate portion of it, the terribleness portion of it. A gal named Amber Geyer is a white female police officer. She came home to her house after her shift and walked into her apartment where she encountered a black male, Botham Jean, eating ice cream. As she pulled her gun on him, she commanded him to show her his hands and get down on the floor, and he would not comply, and she fatally shot him 2 times in the chest. He bled out on his living room floor and died. Amber Geyer had walked into the wrong apartment and killed an innocent man. She was tried, she was convicted, she was sentenced for her actions that day. She didn't deny what she did. She simply tried to explain the biggest mistake and failure of her life. But there was something interesting that took place. During the victim impact statements that took place following all of that, Botham's brother spoke, and what he said, in a world of hate, racial tension, and division, is some stuff that can absolutely change our world. So watch this video clip. And if we have sound, it'll be even better.
Ask him. He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not gonna say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Could you do that? I don't know if I could. Would you do something like that? You might be saying I would. You have to wonder, how could he say, I want what's best for you. I don't even care. I want you to go to jail. I want you to know the only thing that's important in all of this is you find Christ. And then he begs the judge to break every rule. Begs her, can I hug her? Please, can I give her a hug? How could he do such a thing? That's because he knows Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. And he followed in his Savior's footsteps. And he forgave this woman for taking his brother's life. Now, what's interesting is his brother, I did some more reading on it today, and the brother wasn't a scumbag gangster. He worked at a CPA firm, graduated from a prestigious college, and was an incredible man of God. Gave his heart to the Lord when he was 7 or 8 years old, maybe in an Awana program someplace. But the family, all they wanted was this woman to find forgiveness and love by finding Jesus. We should be able to do that because we too have been forgiven by the most heinous murder of an innocent man that has ever taken place. Where Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, died in our place at our hand. The command to forgive is foundational to our lives. And God even challenges us, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Because while you lay in bed, it just stews and it boils and it festers and walls go up and division takes place. Get it worked out before the sun comes up. When the disciples asked Jesus to pray, in Luke chapter 11, verse 4, it says, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You know, what's amazing, folks, is if we look at that and we read it literally and we go, man, I have to ask the question, if we don't forgive, does that mean he holds back forgiveness? I mean, there's this wall of forgiveness ready to flood over us, but when we're unforgiving towards the people around us, does he hold it back until we forgive? Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. We live in a tough world, don't we? We have tough families and tough jobs and tough churches and tough people in our lives. But ladies and gentlemen, forgiveness is not an option for us. It is commanded. Forgiveness is commanded of us because as he sent his son in love so he could provide forgiveness, he's sending us to go and do the same. He commands us to forgive. And forgiveness is a choice we make whether we're going to do it or not. It's not an option, but we make it an option because sometimes we choose whether we're going to give it or not. But here's the interesting thing. Forgiveness is also freedom. Forgiveness is freedom, and it's not just for the person being forgiven, it's for us as well. Our forgiveness comes easily from God, and it comes easiest and is believable for us when our hate tank is empty. So we need to be letting that go. We need to be pouring that out. We need to be letting go of the hatred and the bitterness and the unforgiveness in our heart. And we need to just pour it out and say, God, I choose to forgive. Mr. Jean forgave that woman. He wanted what's best for her, wants her to know Jesus Christ, to find peace and freedom that can only come through him. He hugged her and showed her love and compassion and forgiveness that she didn't deserve. He went first. Why? Because Jesus went first for him. God loved and God sent. God reached out and Mr. Jean responded. And as Mr. Jean reached out to Amber Geyer, she wept and his arms. And Thomas said, yeah, I watched the video at length, and you could tell there came a point in time where he was done with it, but she was just hanging on, because who could love someone like that and forgive someone like that? Jesus. Jesus, who stretched out his arms on the cross and said, I love you, and I'll forgive you if you just come. You know, what's interesting is there are strict protocols. The defendant is like an island unto themselves. You are not to touch. You are not to do that. And listening to the judge in a commentary on the Janet Parshall show, one of the interesting things was that she said, I knew the regulations that the sheriff set up, that you are not supposed to have contact with a guilty defendant. But something more than the judge reached out as a human to another human. And what was interesting is Amber Guyer asked the judge for a hug. From the judge who had sentenced her, this judge dressed in black. This woman of God came down from the judgment seat and gave her a hug. Check this video out of what happens next.
And I just simply said to her, Brent Jean has forgiven you. Please forgive yourself.
She says Geiger asked her if she thought her life could still have purpose.
And she asked me, did I think God would forgive her? And I said, yes, he will. And she said, well, I don't have a Bible. I don't own a Bible, and I don't know where to start. And that's when I said to her, I will get you a Bible.
So she went to her chambers, got her Bible, and gave it to Geiger. She told her to turn to John 3:16, and they read the Bible together. She says Geiger asked her for a hug, not once, but twice.
When I looked at her and saw how she was hurting, of course I agreed to give her a hug. And so we did.
Judge Kemp repeatedly wiped away tears as she recounted those moments.
And I did feel led to give her a Bible, because I did not want her to go back over to the jail and to become bitter and to not allow the seed that was planted not to be nurtured and brought to fruition.
I don't know where to start. I don't even have a Bible. She gives her her Bible, opens it up to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The same little words that came from the little girl in Awana. Could God love me? Could God forgive me? You heard it from the judge. You've heard it from God. And the answer is yes. All of mankind from their birth has been found guilty as charged. They've been sentenced to death and hell forever. But God sent his Son to pay the price for our guilt so that we could not pay. He came to declare freedom for the captives and all who will come to him. God has made forgiveness available to all who would come to him for it. And when we ask, he comes down from his throne and wraps his love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness around us and says, all I have done for you, do for everyone in your life. He shows us where to start when he showed us Jesus. He showed us how to live, that we're supposed to live like Jesus. And he shows that what we can be like Jesus. God went first and forgave before we even asked for it. He asked, "Can I give you a hug?" And the choice for us is to fall into his arms. That's our choice to make. There will be consequences and repercussions for our sinful past, that's for sure, but you can live with the consequences in prison like Amber did and Amber will, and be free on the inside with Christ by your side. What if people think I'm weak or a pushover, or they take advantage of me because I'm willing to forgive and to love no matter what the consequences? My question is, do we think that God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is weak? You see, the most powerful thing in the universe is forgiveness. And when you're willing to set aside personal and hate and all the rest and say, "I choose to forgive you and love you," amazing things can happen. But the difficulty comes when we decide to hold on to hate and unforgiveness in our heart. Unforgiveness steals your freedom and you become anchored. And a matter of fact, I think it even nullifies the joy and the love in your life. Matthew 6:14 through 15 in the New Living Translation puts it this way. "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." Let that wash over you. Let that wash over all of us. I don't think we have the option to refuse forgiveness, folks. Unforgiveness and hatred, someone said, is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. That's some pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? Think about that. Go home and take a big dose of arsenic and hope that someone else dies because of what you just did. That's pretty stupid. But we all need to stop drinking the poison and start forgiving. And we need to go first and forgive the impossible things. We need to start a revolution of forgiveness that changes the world from hate to love. And it's going to start, I can't imagine that, it's going to start like it did with Mr. Botham there. When his family said, "We want what's best and we'll forgive. He said, "I don't even want you to go to jail. I just want you to find Jesus Christ." And when they ask us why, that could be our response. "I want you to know Jesus Christ and his love and his forgiveness and to have eternal life. And by doing so, we become a light that can't be snuffed out." And it's time we start. So make a list of people you need to forgive this week and do it. You got 7 slots there. The first one at the top is yourself. And you can just start writing there. Somebody might need an extra piece of paper or two to be able to continue numbering the list. But start with yourself. Start with those closest to you. Until everyone sees Jesus in your life and through your life. Let's pray. Father God, this is the day that you have made, and you've made it great. You've made it for us. Because you loved us, you filled it full of wonderful things. You made love and forgiveness possible. You showed us what it looked like when you went first. And Lord, we come before you this morning asking that you would help us to be more like Jesus in this moment than ever before. That we would forgive ourselves for all of our failings and shortcomings and inadequacies, the things that the devil whispers into our ear and that we believe to be true about ourselves, and how God couldn't love someone like us, because that's a lie, because he loved us when we were at our worst, because he sees what the best in us can be. So Lord, forgive us for our sins, for they are many. And Lord, help us to forgive those who have hurt us deepest and most, and slightest and least, because that's what you would do. And sometimes that means we have to go to them, because they're not going to come to us. Because they might not even realize what they've done. Jesus, you said that while you were hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them. They have no clue what they're doing. So, Lord, let us forgive like you did, like Botham Jean's family did, with arms stretched open wide, full of love and grace and mercy, hoping and believing that lost people will come to know you because of it and have hope and a future just like us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.